Corinthians chapter 2. Good evening. Welcome to church. I trust you've been able to spend some time to pray today. I believe so. Amen. So tonight we're going to continue looking at kingdom realities. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of us were blessed last week by things that we shared? Okay, so whatever we can revisit, we will. It's not always easy to do a recap, but then we will just keep us up to speed as we look at God's word together. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that comes to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the prince of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So, you know, when it says the prince of this world, when you see crucified the Lord of glory, it's talking about men. Princes of this world there does not refer to demonic powers. It's speaking about men, those who are in authority. The princes of this world, okay, so this world, it means those who are in authority with respect to the world system. It says they didn't understand this wisdom, okay, if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord's glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, I has not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that what? Love him. What did he start off with in verse 6? But we speak the wisdom of God in what? A mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God prepared before the world unto what? Our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, what were they supposed to know? What were they supposed to know? I mean, just stay with the context. If you are following, what were they supposed to know? God's what? Wisdom. Are you following? Okay, I've taught you how to read and how to study contextually. So it's talking about wisdom. There's a wisdom that is communicating. Now it's got that wisdom. It's God's plan of redemption that was revealed to us through the gospel. So it says, but as it is written. So as it is written here is a fulfillment of a prophecy that is against some people, and it is for some people. As it is written, I have not seen nor heard, not have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that what? Love him. Next verse, but God has revealed them to us by his word, Spirit. So you notice you can't quote that scripture anyhow. Okay? Once you take that scripture out of that passage, it will mean something else. See, I've seen people quote it to say that the things God has prepared, nobody can know it. It's not God has prepared for you, nobody can know it. And that's not what I was talking about. Stay within context. It's talking about a wisdom. A wisdom that none of the prince of this world knew. He calls it the hidden wisdom. Now, one of the things we're looking at in the series is that why was it hidden? Or what does it mean by it was hidden? Okay, why was it hidden? Is it God that hid it? Because we're looking at the language of the scriptures and comparing scriptures to scriptures, we're able to come to an understanding of what is meant by hidden wisdom. He just told us that God ordained it before the world unto our glory. And it says, none of these princes of this world knew. So when it says, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, he's telling you that whatever that wisdom is, which is wisdom of God, it cannot come to man by his natural intellect. It cannot come to man's comprehension by his natural understanding. It has to be what? Revealed by God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Are we together? Matthew 16. So, and I said, we're going back and forth in the Gospels to show us the things that Jesus tried to communicate, which while he was saying it, at the time he said those things, disciples did not really understand. But now we have the benefit of insight because we have that Spirit. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Hear what? The deep things of God. All right, so Matthew 16 from verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not what? Revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So, notice the blessing that Jesus pronounced upon Peter is a blessing of revelation. You are blessed that that which has been hidden from the eyes of others, it has been revealed unto you. Hallelujah. Can you see that? So he says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus now said, flesh and blood has not revealed. That is the same thing that we just read in 1 Corinthians 2. Eye has not seen nor ear heard. It hasn't entered the heart of man. The things God has what? Prepared for those that love him. Now, pay attention now. Those that love him there, last week we defined it. So what's another phrase for those who love him? Those who what? Those who have received him, those who have received the gospel, they are the ones who love him. Or they are the ones who are beneficiaries of his love. Are you following? So those who love him, he prepared something for those who love. So love them means to embrace him, to accept him. And to embrace, to accept him means to believe the gospel. Say amen. So there are things he has prepared for those who love him. He now says those who love him are the same people. He's talking about when he says God has revealed them to us by spirit. Hallelujah. So when he's talking to Peter, he says something. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. Would the men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Whatever men tell you will be something they arrived at by their intellect. Whatever God reveals to you will be something you arrived at by revelation. So when he told Peter, blessed are some, this answer he gave is not flesh and blood. It didn't come from natural observation. It has to be by the Spirit of God. And so very rarely I say unto you, look at the next verse, Matthew 16. See what it says. Verse 18. See what it says. I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will what? Build my church. Now, what is the rock in context? Thou art Christ, the Son of the... Is that revelation? Okay, so apocalypsis in the Greek means that something was unveiled. The utterance of the prophets, the scriptures that they read every Sabbath day, the message behind what they said, which is Christ, was revealed to Peter. So Peter knew from what the prophets had written, this is the answer to their prophecies. Hallelujah. What was different between Jesus and Jeremiah and John the Baptist and Elijah? They all spoke about Christ, but they were not the Christ. So they were all prophets who had the message, but he is the message. Can you see the difference? So you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed. Then Jesus gave him further revelation upon this rock. As we go on, you see that rock also has to be a rock that was spoken of also by the prophets. The one that Moses called the rock of our salvation, which is Christ, our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail. Now, I've told you, sentence construction. What is Jesus talking about? Upon this rock, this revelation. What is that revelation? The utterance of the prophets. Who is the fulfillment of that utterance? Christ. Who were the prophets talking about? Christ. Now, upon Christ, who is that rock of the testimony of the prophets, I will build my church. Or, what was the culmination of everything they said concerning Christ? That's a question we need to ask each other. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15. My brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have what? Received, and wherein you stand. Next verse. By which also you are saved. You keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first for that which also I received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, Paul is saying according to the scriptures to show you I am not discussing eyewitness account. According to scriptures also means it's not quoting any particular scripture. It's telling you the summary of the scriptures is that Christ died for our sins, and that on the third day he rose again. Say amen. According to the scriptures, I hope you understand, it's not talking about the epistles, because the epistles were not in circulation then. So according to scriptures, it's Genesis 2, Malachi. Say amen. Okay. So it's telling you, according to the revelation of Genesis to Malachi, how Christ in that revelation died for our sins, and how on the third day he would rise again. Now, remember, we've said that there were things that happened in the scriptures that was a revelation of Christ that now that you are a recipient of the benefit of the New Testament, you have the Spirit of Christ, you can go back and see how the scriptures testified of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, I read a documentary. They were trying to find out whether it is humanly possible for a man to be swallowed by a whale and live for 3 days. And he said, based on their scientific experiment, that it's not possible. Because the content of a whale's belly, they came up with a lot of scientific. They are trying to use science to explain the Bible. They are going to fail, hopefully. The whole essence of a whale swallowing Jonah was not about the whale swallowing Jonah. It was about depicting that the Son of Man would be in the belly of the heart for 3 days. So the day that the whale vomited Jonah on dry land was the third day to show resurrection. You have to understand what the story is about. If you are investigating will, you have lost the story. If you are trying to mentally calculate, if I fall into water and will swallow me, will I live? You will not live. Because, you see, in trying to prove whether it is possible, they proved it was possible. Let me explain. They proved that it's not possible for a whale to swallow a man based on the acids in the content of the whale's belly. Man will not survive. But it is not possible also for a man to go to hell and come out, except it's the resurrection and the life. Are you following? So when the Bible says, for it was not possible that death should hold him, that was why what is not naturally possible took place in Jonah to point to the fact that Jesus will go. Are you following? You get that? So according to the scriptures, there means that this is the summary of the utterance of the prophets. What they were trying to say was that Christ will come and die for our sins, and that on the third day he will what? Rise again. Hallelujah. So go back to Matthew now. Matthew 16. Are we in verse 17? Verse 17. Okay, next verse. Next verse, verse 18. It says, I see also unto the downward Peter, and upon this what? Rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, the gates of hell shall not prevail simply means that the gates of hell will not stop the resurrection. I will build my church, or out of the resurrection will come the church. Out of that resurrection will come the church. The gates of hell not stopping the resurrection is the same as the gates of hell not stopping the church. If you understand, let me say. So that's what's right. I will build my church. Now, it didn't say I will keep building. To build it, it's once. From the resurrection came the church. Hallelujah. From the resurrection came the church. So I will build my church. That means I will rise again. In that resurrection, that's the church. So that we are here, or that he rose, is proof that the gates of it did not prevail. Hallelujah. So it's not a prayer point. Okay, the church of Jesus Christ is marching on the gates of hell. If you mean that the voice of darkness will not stop the church, fine. But don't use that scripture. Because that's not what that scripture means. That scripture speaks about one event. Did he rise from the dead? Did he rise from the dead? Is the church alive today? We are alive in his what? Resurrection. Glory to God. So he now says something after that. He says, verse 19. He says, and I will give unto thee what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Remember what we said about heaven. What is heaven again? A physical planet specifically, or a status that you have in Christ Jesus. Thank you. So, if you are part of the church, are you in Christ? Okay, is Christ in heaven? Is heaven in Christ? I know. You know, the old mindset of heaven is a problem. When you think of heaven, what are you thinking about? I'm going. You know, so that's what you're still thinking. Remember what we looked at in Acts 7 concerning Stephen. When they were stoning him, said, and he looked up and he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened. So if you are looking for clouds to part, you don't know what Stephen's talking about. The heavens open is a vision. And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. You will only understand what Stephen is experiencing if you understand that Stephen himself is a citizen of heaven. Say amen. So spiritual experiences take place in your spirit. It can look like it's taking place outside of you, but it's taking place in your spirit. Because your spirit is one with Christ. Hallelujah. So I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. The heavens open. Doesn't mean the heaven physically opens. It means my eyes can see. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So, you know, if you're reading literally, the writer is Luke, who used descriptive language. All you will see is Stephen leaning down, then looked up, and he's only seeing what he's seeing. Then you're looking for the clouds to do like this. You think the cloud is heaven. The cloud is not heaven. I saw the heaven open as a spiritual vision, because you cannot see Jesus physically. It has to be spiritual. The reason why you can't see Jesus physically is this, because Jesus is not physically sitting on the Father's right hand. And because there's no physical Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I've told you that, okay, where are we seated? In the heavens. Are we sitting in the heavens? Far above all? Is he in a cushion chair? Thank you. So, you cannot see Jesus standing physically. So, I saw the Father standing on the Father. So, the Father's right hand is a spiritual place. It means the place of absolute authority. So, what kind of vision was he having? It's a spiritual vision. That's what we let you know, that it wasn't physical. Because Jesus standing on the Father's right hand, there's no right hand that physical. Right hand means a place of absolute what? Authority. Say amen. Is that clear now? So whatever Stephen was seeing is a spiritual vision. He's explaining, I see the Son of Man in his full authority. And notice he didn't say, I saw the Son of God. Hallelujah. If you know the meaning of that, you will rejoice. I see the Son of Man. Because Jesus kept telling us, the Son of Man is going the way it was written of him. The Son of Man. He is telling you that divinity put on humanity. So that humanity can receive divinity. So I see the Son of Man, who is also the Son of God, seated or standing. And that scene is Stephen identified with the one who is standing. Say amen. Alright, so he says, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Once you are in the kingdom, the word key is the word access. You have access. Say, I have access. So you are now in the kingdom, you have access. Your access to the kingdom is your born again status. You are now a son of God. Okay? So now that you have access to the kingdom, whatsoever you shall bind on earth. So it says, your activities on earth are the same as your activities were in heaven. Say amen. Yeah, now. So listen again. It is not that when I bind on earth, God will bind them. The one who is binding on earth is the one who is binding where? In heaven. Because you have dual citizenship. You are being seen on earth here physically, but spiritually, your address is where? In heaven. So you buy, when you pray here, where do we see the effect? Thank you. That's what they're saying. I'll give you the keys. Now, the word keys there is not plural. It's actually access to the kingdom. That access is your salvation experience that you are born again. So I'll give you access to kingdom. So notice he's teaching about what? The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. That is what he's teaching about. And he spent 40 days teaching. Look at Acts chapter 1. I really would have loved us to go a bit faster, but I'm more interested in you understanding what we're looking at. Are you there? Verse 1, the former treatise have I made unto Theophilus for all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, how many days? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, the kingdom of God was the subject of Jesus' discussion for 40 days. Why was he teaching those things? Remember, we saw in Psalm 78, Psalm 78, verse 1 and 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter things that were kept secret from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to look at how was it kept secret. Because again, the language of scripture will look as though God kept it secret. Not so. We will see what it means by the things that were kept secret. The things that were kept secret were not meant to be kept secret. The things that were kept secret was kept secret for a particular reason. It wasn't God, it was men that kept it secret. Hallelujah. So I will open my mouth. So Jesus is now teaching the things that were kept secret. He first started teaching in his earthly life, in his incarnation. He first started teaching. So in the four gospels, what was Jesus teaching? The things concerning the kingdom. I will open my mouth in a parable. That parable is an explanation of things that were kept secret. And in Jesus' language, he wasn't hiding the truth. He was revealing the truth. But what he was revealing was still hidden, not because God wanted it hidden, but because of the intellect of men. We're going to see that shortly. There's something about man's wisdom that hides man's heart from God's wisdom. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. All right, so see what it says. So it says, for 40 days, concerning him, and verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the... Now, notice the way Jesus is speaking. I spent 40 days teaching you about the kingdom, and I now tell you something important about the ministry of John. I took you to tarry, okay, and to wait for the promise of the Father. You have already heard about the promise of the Father from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? So, which one is symbolic? Which one is the real? The water or the Spirit? The water is what? Symbolic. The Spirit is what? Reality. What is it teaching? The things of the kingdom. Did they fully understand immediately? No. Look at the next verse. For when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Can you see the problem? They were in bondage under Rome. Then they were asking Jesus, what about our kings? The way David was, can we have another king? And Jesus was like, 40-day seminar. Teaching you that God's kingdom is not natural. Teaching you that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached through you. What is gospel of the kingdom? Through this Jesus will preach the remission of sins. You are still asking for whether you are going to have another king. I spent 40 days teaching you that God's kingdom is not natural. You can't see by observation. The kingdom of God is where? In you. Luke 17:20. So look at Jesus' response. Again, this is one of those verses that the way it was written can be a bit misleading, but look at it. Verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you, and then the interpreters or the translators now remove everything that can make you understand it. Comma, thrown somewhere else. Everything just written together. So the meaning you will read from it, if you don't study carefully, will be something else. He has been teaching them about the kingdom which is spiritual. Look at what Jesus said. It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. It is not for you to know, but you shall receive power. What Jesus saying, it is not for you. What is not for you? Restoration of kingdom to Israel. That is not for you. Because we have been given another kind of kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. So the kingdom that is the natural is not the one I came to give you. The one I came to give you is the one that is powered by the Spirit of God, which is why I told you, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. Are you following? So the real answer is, it is not for you. Hallelujah. Are you following? It is not for you. Restoration of the kingdom, when it comes to natural kingdom, is not what I planned for you. What I planned for you is that you receive what? Power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Say amen. You will find statements like that the interpreters had a problem, usually sometimes with the syntax or with putting a comma at the wrong place. For instance, John's Gospel chapter 9 from verse 1. See what it says. John's Gospel 9 from verse 1. What does it say? And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Next verse. And disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the question is, why was he born blind? Okay, look at next verse. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. Once you don't know what Jesus is saying, what's the context of the question? Why is this man born blind? What did Jesus answer? What did they ask Jesus? Why is the man born blind? How did they say it? Who committed sin? So in their question, they made a conclusion. The man must have sinned. That's why he was born blind. You understand? And Jesus says, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. Is Jesus saying they are sinless? No. He's saying it's not the sin of the man, nor the sin of the parents. He didn't say they are sinless. Anybody who is sinless is the Lamb of God. Or in this case, the lamps of God. You understand? So, neither has this man sinned nor his parents means that it is neither of their sins. Jesus didn't say they didn't sin. Neither of their sins is responsible for the man's condition. But look at what Jesus now said. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents. Now, look at it. It says, but that the works of God should be made manifest. So look at where they put the full stop, problem. So why is this man blind? It's so that God's works can made manifest. God made him blind to show power. Does that make any sense? No. So God would do evil so that he can show good. Can you see there's a problem with the problem? What is Jesus saying? Where do you put foot? Where do you put command? Neither had this man's experience. But so that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I will now walk the works of him that sent me. Can you see the difference? It is when I walk the works that you will now see how the work of God can be made manifest in him. That is what Jesus said. Where did the full stop? Neither had this man seen nor experienced. Period. But so that the work of God can be seen in him, I will now walk the work of him that sent me. And Jesus opened my eyes. Hallelujah. Do you understand that zone? So there is what you call careful reading, because some things will not be consistent if you don't read that carefully. The things of the kingdom, which is why many wrong theological positions have been received just from wrong reading. I think Matthew 17, the Bible speaks about the young boy that was, the disciples tried to minister to, and they couldn't cast out, and they were struggling and struggling and struggling. And they came to Jesus. Why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. The next one that followed is extra. This kind goeth not out but by fasting. That's extra. The answer is what? Because of your unbelief. You cannot go and fast because of demon. This kind goeth not out. Can only apply not to demon, but to the unbelief that you're having. This kind of unbelief. What kind of unbelief? Let me explain. The disciples had already gone for ministry work. They had come back. They'd seen the devils cast out. You know, Luke 10, when they came back to Jesus, they said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. I mean, remember that. So they've gone for ministry trip. Okay, so they've seen demons cast out. They've healed the sick before. So when they faced this boy, and they didn't get results, they were perplexed. Then Jesus now said, then, how do you know what must have caused the problem for them? The way Jesus ministered to that same boy that was possessed and the way the boy reacted would have told you what those people faced. Because when Jesus spoke to that demon, the demon threw the boy down. And then the demon left. Everybody there said, he's dead. Jesus did not answer. He just went to the boy and pulled him up. So sense knowledge told them, it's finished. So when the disciples obviously met that boy, oh yeah, leave him. Come out. See, he has not gone. No. He's not going. Because they saw demonstrations. If you are looking at demonstrations, Satan will have you in his realm. You are in the sense realm where he can manipulate. Because you are observing the wind. Hallelujah. That is the story of Smigu's what? A boy that, it was a woman. I think it was a woman. You know, demonic power must be seriously present. If a woman is throwing seven men away, a woman is carrying them like this and throwing them. They wanted to hold her down. She would carry them and throw them. Seven men. Then we would sort of came in. And you know, demons are afraid. If demons' first response to you, we know, let you know. Every other person will harass them. We would sort of came into the room, saw the demon. The first thing the demon said was, I know you are. You can't cast him out. He said, yes, but Jesus in me can get out. Why are you saying you can't cast me? You're already afraid. You know your time is up. Because me can. Then we also did something. No long prayer. Just took his Bible, walked out of the room. When he was by the door, the woman ran down the staircase around half time and shouted, ah! He looked back. But I took you to leave. And he went away. And the demon left. Now, the first instruction was instruction in the command. Hallelujah. You see, if you are looking at what you are seeing, condition has not changed, though. It's still there. That's what happened to disciples. When Jesus gave the instruction and the demon tore the young man and threw him down, Jesus did not move. Jesus was looking at drama. After a while, everybody said, he's dead. Yes, after all the demon, just pulled the young man up and gave him to the Father. Jesus was not moved. Jesus said, this kind of unbelief you are experiencing does not go out but by fasting and prayer. Jesus will never tell you a demon will not go out by fasting and prayer. Because by fasting and prayer, you can't cast out the devil. His authority in the name of Jesus that cast out devils. Hallelujah. Do you know what fasting and prayer does? It makes you stable. It makes you sound. You are established in the truth. That's what happens. Who does fasting and prayer affect? God or you? Does it affect demons? I know. In fact, if you're not careful, if you fast too much, I'm just telling you, Jesus did 3 days fasting, dry fasting. Demon, Satan came. If you do 40 days, he will come. If you don't have stamina, spiritual stamina, and it comes, you know what it means to bring temptation after 40 days? You'll be feeling light. You think it's the anointing. There's no food in your system. So you are likely to hallucinate if you're not careful. So what you really need is the stamina that comes from the word of God. Hallelujah. So when he was speaking about the kingdom here, they didn't understand what he was saying. And he had to re-emphasize, teach them again. You shall receive what? Power. What's the power? That's the power of the kingdom. The spirit of God. That's the power of the kingdom. So let's go back now. So flesh and blood has not revealed unto you, but my Father who is where? In heaven. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Verse 25. Look at what Jesus said. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed what? Good in your sight. Next verse. It says, and all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will what? Reveal him. So you see, the Father is what? Revealed by the Son. And the Son is revealed by who? By the Father. So Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this, but my what? Father which is in heaven. Now notice what Jesus said again. He said, you have eat these things from the wise and prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes. Now again, the way it is written is as though God deliberately, actively hid. It deliberately and actively hid. That's what it's written. But then you are going to see that is a figure of speech. Look at Matthew, the same Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Are you there? Verse 10. Matthew 13, 10. Disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them parables? This is when he spoke about the parable of the sower. Okay? And then Jesus answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever has not from him shall be taken away, even that which is at. That's not a prosperity text. Okay? He's talking about spiritual realities. So there are those who say they have, and from them we're taking away what they have. And okay? So see what it says. Say, whosoever has shall be given, to him shall be given that, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not from him shall be taken away. Therefore I speak them parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither they understand. And in them is fulfilled what? The prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by him you shall hear, and shall not what? Understand. And seeing you shall see, shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. And you see that? Then look at the next thing. Now, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Do you notice God didn't close their eyes? Are you following? Their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be one converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto thee, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see this which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear this which you hear, shall not hear them. Now, we're going to skip that part, but that verse is a reference to the incarnation. God becoming a man was something that the prophets wanted to see. They didn't see it. Hallelujah. God becoming a man was something they wanted to see. But then look at the previous verses. It says, their eyes have they closed. It's talking about the state of their heart that because of unbelief, the utterance of Jesus, which is the utterance of the prophets, was not made plain to them. Hallelujah. You know what it means for the gospel to be preached regularly in before an audience and they cannot tell it's a gospel? You know what it means for Jesus to come to the temple in Luke chapter 4 verse 18 and says, and open to Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That's not the first time they were hearing. Then Jesus now told them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Had they heard before? Yes. Did they know who was talking about? No. Why? Haven't ears, they hear not. Ears, eyes, they see not. Their eyes have they closed. Hallelujah. Jesus came and said that this scripture is now fulfilled. I am the fulfillment. Did they believe? No. So when it says their heart is wax dross, wax dross, there's a reference to unbelief or hardness of heart. What they were meant to receive, you can only receive by faith. God has chosen to remove himself strictly by faith and not to man's natural intellect. Eyes have not seen nor ear heard. It has not entered where the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that what? Love him. Say amen. Do you understand so far? So, listen, when it says God has hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, the wise and the prudent is a reference to man's natural intellect. So those who are wise according to his word standard, those who are high and mighty according to his word standard, they are not able to discern the wisdom of God because their own intellect is stopping them from receiving it. That's what he's saying. He says their heart is wax gross. That's hardness of heart. He refused to understand the truth. Remember Jesus on the road to Emmaus when he saw those disciples. In Luke chapter 24, verse 25, it says, all fools are slow of heart to what? Believe all that the prophets have spoken. You don't need to be slow of heart. Why is it difficult to persuade you? And Jesus was speaking about his own resurrection. He says, why is it difficult to persuade you? He said, everything I've done plus my resurrection, the prophets have said it. How come you didn't listen to it? So he's wanting to hear it preached. He's not meaning to what? Understand. Receiving with simplicity of a babe. That's what he's saying. In their own wisdom, their own intellect hid God's wisdom away from them. What's God's wisdom? God chooses to reveal himself by faith. Hallelujah. He chooses to reveal himself by faith. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. So, see what he says again. All fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered this thing? So, when you say ought not, it means that shouldn't you have surmised from what was taught from the Holy Scriptures that this is exactly the process that will happen? So when you saw the process happening, if you had believed the Scriptures, you would have seen the process was being fulfilled. That's what Jesus was saying. But when the process was being fulfilled, you guys were agitated because you didn't follow the Scriptures to know the process. Hallelujah. Do you understand so far? So notice this, I'm beginning from Moses. And all the prophets, he what? Expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning who? Himself. Let me show you something. Matthew 12. Look at Matthew 12. We'll come back in. Matthew 12. Verse 38. look at what did you say to Jesus? Matthew 12. Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. And you see that? You know what a sign is? How many of you know what a sign is? You know, like Moses, just show us one act of power, we'll believe. The same Moses that showed them power wrote against them. He wrote against them. And I will show you something that's very interesting now. Look at what he said. But Jesus answered now and said unto them, an evil and what? Adulterous. What's the word adulterous? Who can tell me another word for adulterous? Thank you. An evil and what? Faithless generation seeks what? After his son. Now, when he says faithless, faithless to who? Faithless to who? In their relationship with God. And their relationship with God, the way they were faithless, they were faithless to the scriptures. They were unfaithful to the truth of the scriptures. So, you see, you are looking for a sign. When Moses has already written concerning me, you are still looking for a sign. So this is what Jesus said. And even an adult will seek for him. There shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Can you see he's telling them again who he is? What does that sign? What's in that sign? For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be what? 3 days and three nights in the earth of the... So is it about the belly of the whale or the heart of the earth? Thank you. Did they know what he was saying? Confusion. What's going on? Their intellect. Whale's belly. Jonah. Son of man. Belly of the heart. They didn't get it. Why are you getting it? But God has revealed them to us by his spirit. So Jonah in the whale's belly is drama. Jesus in the belly of the heart is reality. Hallelujah. Listen. I'm going to show you more. Matthew 3. Oh, no. John 3. We're in Matthew 13 and John 3. John 3, 14. What was in John 3, 16? If you don't know that one, you are not saved. You should examine your salvation very well. Okay, so let's look at John 3, 14. See what it says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent. What is that? Drama. Are you following? As Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be. Why didn't Moses lift up the Son of Man? There was no Son of Man to lift up. Are you following? There was no Son of Man to lift up. So what did Moses lift up to show the Son of Man? Serpent. What does serpent represent? Sin. So look at it. They were reading Numbers 21. And they will tell you, Moses lifted up the serpent. And when the serpents were destroying them and biting them, when Moses, the Lord's servant, lifted up the serpent, and they looked at the serpent, for that serpent is still inside the temple. When he was lifting up, Moses showed us a sign that God will have mercy. They didn't ask the question, if serpent is biting them, why would Moses also lift up a bloody serpent that will now save them? If the serpent that is biting them does not depict sin, and the one that is lifted up depicts the sacrifice for sins. So as Moses lifted up, what is Jesus doing? I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter things that were kept secret from when? The foundation of the world. So who is the serpent that was lifted up? Jesus. Hallelujah. If you are looking at Moses' brazen serpent, will you get it? No. Okay. Look at verse 15. That whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but shall have what? Eternal life. So, what was Moses preaching by the serpent that was lifted up? Eternal life. Hallelujah. What did Moses say, or what was he saying by the story of the serpents that beat them? That the effect on man's body is, so the effect of sin in the man's spirit is what? Death. And that only Christ can free man from what? The hold of death. So, what did God tell Moses? Tell them that whosoever looks to the serpent shall live. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand so far? This is God's wisdom. This is God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1. Remember we saw 1 Corinthians 2. Eyes have not seen nor ear heard. And has it entered what? The heart of man. The things God has prepared for them that love him. So 1 Corinthians now 1:18. We're beginning to start. 1 Corinthians 1:18. We have not started before. We were doing preamble. So when we can get to tonight, we'll continue tomorrow. Are we ready? 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Notice, to those who perish is what? Foolishness. Why is it foolishness? They are perishing. It is because it is foolish. Now, is the preaching of the cross foolishness? But it is foolishness to those who are perishing. So how do you mind perishing when it sees the cross as foolishness? Is the cross foolishness? No. It's about to tell you something about what the cross means. The cross is the wisdom of God and the power of God. But to those who are perishing, who are those who are perishing? Let's read them. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish from them, but unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. For it is written, this is what the cross was designed to do. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, it is written there means this was in scripture. Now, again, look at the way it was written. I will is not active. It is not going actively saying, I will just come to those who are wise, I will destroy it. It's saying by the effect of the cross, it will become a stumbling block to those who are not ready to receive the message of the cross like little babes and accept my wisdom. If through their own wisdom, what I'm doing sounds like foolishness, it will be foolishness to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever tried to preach to a professor before? Particularly a professor of philosophy. You know what philosophy is? How many of you did philosophy 101? You did philosophy. They didn't tell you that. Your time paper, prove that God is water. You know what I'm saying? Prove that God is water. You just copy whatever your lecturer has taught you and prove it there. Don't say, no, it's resurrection of the life. You receive resurrection mark. But philosophy is philosophy. Now, when you preach the gospel to them, in its simplicity, it is foolishness to them, but it is the wisdom of God. Their foolishness or the hardness of their heart will hide the gospel from them. So when it says, I will destroy the wisdom, he's not saying I will actively do it. He says, what I will accomplish by the cross in its simplicity is God's wisdom. It will be so simple, those who are wise according to what standard will not be able to accept it. How can you tell me one man died after these rules? If I believe in, I was saved. No. My friend, this is your duty before God. Do good to all men. Live right. God will accept you. That makes sense to the wisdom of this world. But what is God's wisdom? Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have what? Everlasting life. Can you see that? So men in their own wisdom did not know God's wisdom. And because they did not know God's wisdom in their own wisdom, they saw God's wisdom as foolishness. And they seen it as foolishness, that eat God's wisdom from them. Or let me put it this way, their own intellect eat God's wisdom away from them. Let's read for them. So he says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing what? The understanding of the proven. Look at next verse. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the spirit of this world? Has not God made foolish what? The wisdom of this world. Can you see that? So there's a wisdom of the world. There's a wisdom in God. It now says, the wisdom of God makes that of the world look what? Foolish. Look at next verse. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by their own wisdom did not recognize God. It pleased God by what? The foolishness. Is that literal or a figure of speech? Is that literal or figure of speech? Thank you. It pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching to what? Is preaching foolish? Is preaching foolish? Okay, so foolishness of preaching is what? A figure of speech. So by the foolish, to save them that believe. Look at next verse. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Look at next thing. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto Jews, a stumbling block. Unto Greeks, what? Foolishness. Look at next verse. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So the intellect of men hid God's wisdom away from them. And that wisdom is God's, the gospel, which is the power of God unto what? Salvation. So you meet a man, you preach the gospel, you tell him, if you will confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, you shall be saved. For the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. He looks at you, what's the other one? I just confess, I'm just saying. Okay? How can I just confess? Just confess. So you're saying all this is a way of confessing, you are forgiven. You're saying I've become a son of God. How do I know? Okay, prove to me. He can't see it in the test tube. Because he can't see in his test tube. In his own wisdom, he has called God's wisdom foolishness. Hallelujah. And effectively, the wisdom of God has been hidden from him. So again, look at what we read in Matthew 11, 25. Look at that. Matthew 11, 25. Because you have eat these things from what? The wise and the proven, and have read them unto babes. So the wise and the prudent here will mean the rulers of this world. Those who are wise according to what standard. Okay? And now says, for the... We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 18 now. So he said, the wise and the prudent. No, so when he says, you have eat, it is not. It is more of what God did not do. Hallelujah. You see, you have to understand figure of speech. It is more what God didn't do. What God didn't do was respond according to man's wisdom. What God did was put forth his own wisdom. According to man's wisdom, God's wisdom appears like what? Foolishness. Are you there now? God's power appears like weakness. That's why in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul started by saying, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus and him what? Crucified. So I didn't have human philosophy. I didn't try to fine-tune it. I just said it as it is. Why? The wisdom that Christ is the power of God, and what? The wisdom of God. So when men in their wisdom, they couldn't recognize God's wisdom, it became foolishness to them. That is the fulfillment of scripture that says that he has hidden that revelation from the wise and the prudent. So wise and prudent is a reference to those who are wise according to what? To what standard? Babes is those who are simple enough to receive the truth of the gospel. So when we say you are a babe in Christ now, there's a good side of it. This is the good side of it. Say amen. We're not talking about spiritual infancy in Christ. Now we're talking about the fact that you were simple enough to receive the message of the gospel. Say, I'm a babe in Christ. Okay, don't say it. Let's think something else. So it says, you have hidden among babes, or those who were simple enough, those who divorced themselves from natural wisdom in order to embrace what? God's wisdom. For instance, like I said, when God is using terminologies and phrases, if you don't know the wisdom of God, you will, in man's wisdom, despise God's wisdom. Let's go back to verse 1 Corinthians 1. Where were we now? We're in verse 20 or 21. I want to show you something. Next verse. Because the foolishness of who? Figure of speech. Is there foolishness in God? Okay. Foolishness in the heart of those who don't believe. So God's wisdom is what? Foolishness in the heart of those who don't what? Believe. Do you understand now? So, because the foolish of God is wiser than men. You should know it's sarcasm. You recognize the sarcasm when you say it. So when you say God's foolishness is wiser than you, that's sarcasm. That means naturally no foolishness. Who is foolish actually? You. That's sarcasm. So Paul is using sarcasm. He says, because the foolishness of God and the weakness of God is what? Stronger than men. So what is the foolishness of God here? What's the foolishness of God there? The gospel. What's the weakness of God? The gospel. Who is calling it weakness and foolishness? The wise and the prudent. So who's actually foolish in the sight of God? The ones we call wise and prudent. What does God call them? Foolish. Because they receive not the gospel. So you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. It's not God actively hiding. It is the intellect of this man hiding those things from them. Hallelujah. We're going to stop short because of our time. Now, John chapter 2. Let me give you one illustration and then we'll start praying tonight. Amen. Are you getting something? John's Gospel chapter 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and disciples to the marriage. So Jesus was invited to a wedding. You can't invite Jesus to a wedding. Amen. He wasn't there to officiate. I assure you. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. How many of you call your mother's woman? I'm just saying. Okay. When you were younger, if you tried it, you see brain reset. One slap, you are back to default mode. You understand? Even when you are older, if you are saying it, you'll be from a distance. Because the hand can still reach you from anywhere. Now, so Jesus is not being disrespectful. This is what should let you know that you need to read what just happened again from his response. Because you will come to the wrong conclusion. So you see, Jesus went to them and said, they have no wine. Jesus now said, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour has not yet come. Then you now tell yourself, Jesus did not want to do miracle. But his mother came to him and said, my son, do something for them. No. That is reading naturally. Woman, my hour has not yet come is spirit language. So in saying woman, is no longer addressing her as mother. Is the Messiah now talking? The time for me, and the mother understood, the time for me to accomplish my task is not yet. Every time Jesus spoke about the hour, he was always talking about his resurrection. The hour cometh and now is. John 4:23. That those that worship Father shall worship him how? His spirit. He was talking about his resurrection. So my hour is not yet come is a reference to what? The time of his what? Resurrection. So the woman came and said, they have no wine. What was going on? a wedding, they have no wine. How many of you know? Well, you may not know today, but in that day, a wedding and wine go together. If you don't have wine at a wedding, you don't have a wedding. You don't have a poor wedding, or you don't have a wedding. Because they must have wine. Wine shows festivity. Hallelujah. That's what wine shows. So you don't have wine, it's as good as not having it. So it's like an emergency situation. They know. And so in a natural marriage, they don't have wine, it's cause for crisis. They have no wine. Then look at what Jesus' mother said. Whatever I said, don't you do it. Okay, and they were said there 6 water pots of stone, and after the man and so Jesus gave them 6 water pots. Water here represents humanity. On what Jesus saying, my hour is not yet come. There was no wine in humanity. So there's man's wine according to man's wisdom, which had finished. There's God's wine according to God's wisdom, which is the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you following? My hour is not yet come. What did they need at that wedding at that time? What did they need? What did they need? What does man really need spiritually? Say wine now. It's wine. What did they need at that wedding? Wine. So, according to man's wisdom, there's wine that makes the wedding lively, isn't it? According to God's wisdom, in the marriage of God and man, who will provide the wine also? God. What is the wine that God gives to man? Which is God's own wine. What does give? The Spirit, which is given by the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So, when the woman said, they have no more wine, Jesus used that opportunity to teach about the kingdom. What's the kingdom? You are saying they have no more wine. But from God's perspective, they don't have wine at all. They never had wine. Hallelujah. Do you understand? They never had wine. Now, what is man's wine? That reddish liquid that is inside bottle. What is God's wine? What is God's wine? What is God's wine? What is God's wine? So, who is using symbol, God or man? Thank you. You get it now. Who is using symbol, God or man? Who is more real, God or man? So, when God says, my wine, God's wine must become your wine. That is when you are functioning the wisdom of God. When man's wine is your wine, you are operating according to the wisdom of men. So when the woman came to ask for wine, Jesus used your bottle. Did he give them natural wine they wanted? Yes. But he used the opportunity to let them know the real wine is not yet time. How will the real wine come? Through his resurrection. He will give them new life. That is the new wine. Say amen. Hallelujah. You understand so far? So, there's God's wisdom. And as we go on, you see, God's water is not man's water. There's God's water, there's man's water. So, wisdom of God means that you must learn to call water what God calls water. If you stay with man's wisdom, you will misunderstand it. I showed you Matthew 26, when they were eating the communion, the Passover. Jesus told them, take it, this is my body, that's what I'm looking for you. Take it, this is my blood of New Testament, which is shed for the mission of men. Drink ye all of it. So what were they eating and drinking? Bread and wine. What is God's bread and wine? The body of Christ and blood of Jesus. The bread and wine that they ate, where will he end up? In the convenience. The one that God will give, where will he end up? In their spirit. Are we clear? So is God's wine man's wine? No. Is God's bread man's bread? So Jesus told them, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They are dead. This is the bread that a man may eat and never die. Can that be bread? Can that be natural bread? Did you hear what I just said? Can that be natural bread? He told them, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. So when they were being given manna, what was Moses trying to teach them? What was he trying to teach them? See, for 40 years they ate what? Manna. And it was happening every day. What was unique about manna? They never worked for it. They would just gather it. Isn't it? Now. But what was God's manna? The one that dropped from heaven or the one that God sent Jesus to be? Thank you. But Jesus, the things that Jesus taught, that's why I said that it was a little bit confusing to them. He said, Moses did not give you that bread from heaven. No, we sweat for. were there, he fell. He said, no, Moses is going to give you that bread from heaven. But my father gave it the true bread from heaven. What does he say to you? The one that you hate came from the atmosphere, but it's not from heaven. The one that the father gives you is the one that I'm the bread of, that a man may eat and never die. So if a man has eaten bread that comes from heaven, when he eats it, will he still die? No. But your father's ate manna in the wilderness, they are now dead. What does that tell you? Manna did not come from. So you see, you have to understand heaven, atmospheric, and heaven, what Jesus is talking about. The one that comes from heaven is spiritual in what? Nature. You get it now? Do you understand so far? We have to see God's vocabulary is different. You have to make God's vocabulary your what? Vocabulary. So the bread which comes down from heaven, okay, I say unto you, Moses gave you another bread from heaven, but my father giveth you the true bread. See, Jesus is the true bread. So agege bread is fake bread. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and gives what? Life. So God's bread is the life-giving spirit. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Now, I said all that to say this. Can you see that the way you read your Bible must be different? You cannot read by the wise and the prudent. You cannot read by the Jews and the Pharisees. You have to read like somebody who has the Spirit of God, because you have the Spirit of God. Say amen. God has revealed them to us by his word, Spirit. So God's water must be your water. God's wine must be your wine. God's bread must be your bread. God's life must be your life. So when God says somebody is spiritually dead, you need to know what it means. The day you shall eat of this, you shall surely die. Then you are waiting and waiting, you are counting. This man is 900. No, you don't understand God's language. You have to understand God's language very clearly. When you understand God's language very clearly, then you will be on the same page with God. You know what he's saying when he says, if a man will eat this, and then, this is better, a man may eat and never die. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, say God's wisdom is my wisdom. God's power is at work in me. I understand the revelation of scriptures. I have the spirit of wisdom that reveals the things of God to me. The things of God are clear. In the days ahead, I'm not caught by surprise. I know exactly what to do. I'm led by God's Spirit. I'm never stranded. I'm always at the right place, at the right time. I have full supply. There is no shortage of supplies where I'm concerned. In the work of my hands, I have abundant supply. There is no disconnection. There is a ceaseless flow of assistance for me. I have ceaseless flow of supernatural aid. Wherever I go, I see possibilities. There is no impossibility in my experience. God has moved heaven and earth in order to reach me. I'm a living proof that heaven and earth have kissed each other. Therefore, all the resources of heaven, all the resources of the heart, they are at my disposal. I am supernaturally backed up. I have supernatural assistance. I have supernatural aid. The angels of God, they cater to me. They minister for me. They see to my needs. They preserve my life. I am supernaturally shielded. I'm supernaturally protected. No arrow that flies by day will come near me. No destruction will come near my dwelling place. I declare I'm heavily fortified. I'm supernaturally shielded from every evil. In all I do, 2021 is that year of marvelous things, of marvelous help, of supernatural assistance. In all I do, I experience good grace, the power of God providing for me, the power of God meeting my needs, the power of God seeing me through every area of life. I have God's wisdom. I'm intelligent. I am sharp. I always know in advance before things happen, because I have that spirit of wisdom and revelation. I go to where to go. I go where I ought to go. I'm at the right place at the right time. Stand to your feet and let's pray tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. The month of April is a month of supernatural possibilities for every one of us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Part of what we said now this morning was praying. for the power of God to be constantly at work in our services. And if you notice the scriptures that we use, Philippians 1 verse 19 says that, I know that through your prayers, okay, there will be a supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. And with James chapter 5 verse 16 says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power of God available. If you read where that story was taken from the Old Testament scriptures, you will discover that there was something about the labor that Elijah put into prayers are now readily declared condensed after from rain. How many of you know that? So God gave the word, go and appear to the king and there will be rain. And then Elijah walked out the word of God in prayer. There was something about the intensity of Elijah's prayer and the condensation of the clouds that became rain. Notice in Acts chapter 12, when Peter was put in prison and was about to be killed, the Bible says prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him until there was angelic deliverance. There's something about the intensity of our prayers. Listen, we had some issue in church some years back when we had some of our women who were experiencing miscarriages, and on vigil we just spent time and we just dealt with it. We don't want this to recur again, and it just stopped. So some things happen like that, that until you focus God's power in that direction before you get the kind of results you want to get. Hallelujah. It's not in God's hands, it's in our hands. The power is here. The authority is here. The same Spirit is here. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. If we decree in this assembly, nobody dies next year. Nobody dies next year. Nobody suffers calamity or accident. Nobody suffers calamity. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's some things we have power to control. Hallelujah. There's no woman in this assembly between now and next year that will not have their children. We can decree it. There's no woman in this assembly that will suffer miscarriage. There's no, we can decree those things, and we pray God's power. We don't want any complications in pregnancy. Smooth sailing, easy delivery, because any anomaly takes place on the earth. You have to understand, it's not God's will. It takes place on the earth. Anything that's called anomaly, it takes place here. Either through the carelessness of doctors or through different things. That's why we pray the way we pray. Hallelujah. So we're praying for God's power to be constantly at work in our services in great intensity. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. And as we're doing that, we're declaring concerning our women, everyone who's trusting God, between now and next year, it will be their season. No one who has conceived experiences any difficulty. Our women conceive with ease, and there is no delay in conception. So there's ease of conception, ease of delivery. So mighty in our experiences, selo kropalis estropro katine kekeleko krota galaki esite rusafrana gachi koste ekakumongo le chudana basta sokorita akuzu sobrio ele protafranati le gliste soprono kopanika okli gasto on gastiko le gliesteko ekenen grusto kosta franagate ekangango ekangango Mangriste, Lestrona, Magiges, Mangriges, Lekukangres, the Susokopra Dakia, Om Greekes, Susoprocopra Catine, Ekugoprokis, Evrekis, Susoprocos, Evrenica, Catalangra, Castigine, Celebro Susoprigum, Ekekeko Danglastianaste, a songa, palico, bo, 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 bo. And weeks were not able to reach before, and the next 3 days, this same week, receive miraculously. This same week, receive miraculously. Locaso broko this again. Have a change of experience. And to cookies, another sign. The kusam pronika. Ligongo go ko plastic dike. Gisonia and the shutana. And kungunye santeliga gaste. Yo sangopi. Kogakasia. Asombo. And say, Gige, 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 a shroom, Sambran, Anka, Gige, Sike, a Kuguse, Sefrustal, there's direction for you, Pagasukomon, Katika, Katia, a Songo, Konda, Katia, a Kakukukuku, space opens up, there's direction for you, space opens up, a Lakansuguti, a Kanko, a Kunando, Su, Omo, etuna, leku sambrike, kukatusho, longro kasite nie, eke gike gie, eku gonangase, on shu, kentstuni antakate, pone ankakiste, li gugu kangike site, kugrusta, meka suko, maki kentu, beyond limitations, kantu no mongrietia, tu no ongo gatia, sungo katika, be push and carry beyond limitation, palo gostane katia, enongo patia, ni usengo pande kinge kide liko gatia, upaki yesuto, enakula nishte, o sanduku nye, entine nene kaso, lusa vrano mungo, longi kasti vredige lugro diaga, in a graste, Jesus broke up Branaki, Giki, Sibriki, Sibrigan, and go broke Katana Gite. Listen, the power of God is here right now. I want to just settle some things, just declare some things now. I don't know what it is, trusting God. I just want to declare some things now. Either to concern the work of your hands, your whatever, just declare some things right now. Just declare some things right now and take advantage of God's power, God's glory that's in the house right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let whatever it is be sorted now. Let it be sorted now. Stagnation, hindrances, difficulties, whatever it is, let it be sorted now. Let it be sorted now. By the power of God, let it be sorted right now. It's a new day, it's a new experience for you. The power of God overwhelms your experience. So you have full liberty, you experience God's grace, God's power, you enjoy God's life just like never before. Whatever it is, just believe and receive now and sort it out in the place of prayer. Declare, because it is time. There's no need to wait. It is time. Just receive right now the change that you just got for, the new experience that you have desired. What is in your heart that you know only the power of God can bring you into the enjoyment, declared now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the kingdom is gross tavrana katike. Oh, class elevraxis to goose all over this assembly. A clack so gross tevretila gashtekus. Let's give him praise tonight. Let's give him thanks. Father, we're grateful. We are thankful. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your power. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the new experiences. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Oh, thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your power. We bless you, Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.